Kia ora, everybody. You can't see me, but I'm here. I'm just behind the camera here. Good question is, do you really trust these people to investigate how the Labor government's response killed our country? How the Labor government's response to COVID-19 killed our country? Are we really able to trust these people to be trusted to investigate something that they pretty well support themselves? We'll come back to that in a second. Kia ora, everybody. It's Billy here. Hope you're having a good day today. And welcome to the Magic Die Call. Impromptu, I must admit, impromptu quick broadcast because I've got the earliest morning in the morning. So I am basically just doing this on the way to bed, have prayers, pack some gear, then I'm off to sleep tomorrow because I've got a very, very early morning drive to the airport down in Auckland. But kia ora, everybody. Welcome. Hope you're doing well. Hey, Sister Darren. Jean, good to see you as well. I love the name, Jean Spain. Very good name. And I'm just going to cover some really important points. Don't forget, family, to hit the share button. I am being really radically shadow banned at the moment, and I'm going to talk about that briefly. But if you're just getting in today, welcome to you all. Kia ora tātou. Nau mai, haere mai, welcome. Ngā mihi mahana nui, a warm welcome to you, and I hope you're doing well out there as we deal with the absurdity of what we are facing. It is. If it wasn't so deadly serious, it would be hilarious, wouldn't it? Hi, Doug, welcome to you. Rachel, welcome to you. Wouldn't it be hilarious, actually? You'd look at these things and just say, how is it possible that human beings can believe for a second that growing your own plants is going to be more harmful than mass production plant growing and vegetable growing? That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that is what's happening. That's what's happening right now. The world is being sold another lie, but people are fighting it. But I want to go back to this poster I've got here. Hey, Carol, how are you? Hey, George, welcome to you as well. Hit the share button, guys. Look at that. I've got 10 people on here. I used to have hundreds of people on here once upon a time by the time I'd get into my blurb. But it doesn't matter. Please hit the share button and welcome to you. I just want to show you this flyer again because this really, really does deserve some attention here. Hey, Nikki, good to see you. And I'm going to cover this. Look at this. Do you really trust these people to investigate how the Labor government's response to COVID-19 killed our country? Let's look at that. Let's look at Christopher Luxon. Threatened parents on welfare that they would lose their benefit if they did not flu vaccinate their kids. Advocated for harder COVID measures than the Ardern government. Has slammed people who question the COVID narrative as anti-vax conspiracy theorists. Former chief business advisor to the Ardern government. Do you realise that? I'm sure some of you will know this, but that's it. Okay, let's look at this other guy here. This is Tony Blakely. He is the chairman of the COVID-19 Royal Commission of New Zealand Inquiry. He's the Otago University affiliate that has received Bill Gates Foundation support and Labor government funding. Now, this is where it gets a bit cunning about this guy. This guy, Tony Blakely, who is the chairman of the Royal Commission of inquiry into COVID-19. They say that he's an Australian, I think it was Melbourne University fellow, and he is, indeed he is. He works there. But he's also affiliated with Otago University, but they're keeping that really quiet. Why would that be, I wonder? Is it because this university, which has turned out, of course, famously Michael Baker, is it because they have received so much money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for various research programs? I wonder if that's the case. But there's more to it, this guy, than that. Let's have a look at this. All right. He is an ex-World Health Organization consultant. He, too, advocated for harsher COVID measures. This man, went and worked for Dan Andrews in Victoria, in Melbourne, and he created the strategy and policy that eradicated human liberty, civil rights in Melbourne, and they killed probably countless numbers of people. But he also said, look at this, on the Mike Hosking's radio show that Labor did a superb job of managing COVID. Oh, well, that is the guy that is the chairman of the COVID-19 Royal Commission of Inquiry. That's him, right? So we can't trust him. All right, let's look at this guy here. Let's look at David Seymour. What is it? What's interesting about him? Well, he said to a whole big bunch of people down in Nelson at a meeting, just get vaccinated and don't listen to YouTube and social media tell you nut job conspiracy theories. Supported all of the measures of the Labour government and also thinks anyone who questions the COVID narrative is a nut job. And as Nikki just said, Dan Andrews is now working for the WEF. Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all. So David Seymour, you know, he's interesting because he basically tried to come out in early 2021 that I think this government is a communist government using COVID to bring in communism. And that narrative was certainly quietened down and shut down from him. Something happened and he completely abandoned that. And I gave him grief about that. But, you know, he says, just get vaccinated and don't listen to YouTube and social media. Supported all the measures of the Labour government, COVID measures. Thinks anyone who questions the COVID narrative is a nut job. But famously, he called me a effing F-wit on live TV. Can you believe that a member of parliament would use expletives like that on any TV show, let alone a daytime Kiwi show talking about me? He called me an effing nut job. And so that's your David Seymour. And it's his minister, Brooke Van Velden, that is managing the new COVID-19 inquiry launched and initiated by Winston Peters. Now, let's look at this guy here. Yep, and Max is so right. I'm going to address that in a second, Max. Winston Peters, let's just pay attention to him. He has co-signed the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act into law. He supported Tracy, this is his minister, by the way, supported Tracy Martin's internet censorship bill, which was a draconian anti-free speech bill, supported all of the measures of the Labour government, claimed anyone who rejected the COVID narrative was holding the country to ransom, didn't deliver on his promise to fight for compensation for vaccine mandate harm, and on top of all of that, is introducing the MedSafe bill for unsafe drug approval. Now, the question is, do you really trust these people to investigate how the Labour government's response to COVID-19 killed our country? I don't think so. Support the New Zealand COVID-19 Citizen Inquiry, nzcci.com. This is our chance here to do this. But these four politicians there that are, well, let me correct that. There is a politician. Tony Blakely is a politician. He may not be standing for election, but he's a politician. And he's working amongst all the various governments, the WHO, the Dan Andrews government, New Zealand government, the Royal Commission of Inquiry, and he's infiltrated an ideology into that. The same way Rod Carr has taken over, so-called Dr. Rod Carr has taken over the Climate Change Commission, it's propagating a complete green economy, green tyranny, climate change nonsense. And it's unbelievable. And these academics are doing it. And the politicians love them. Why? Because they get to say, it was our advisor. It was our advisor that advised us to do these things. But the fact is they're all on it. So I'm just going to finish it off this way here. So here you have it. Christopher Luxon. You've got Tony Blakely, David Seymour, Winston Peters. Do you really trust these people? I would say no. Support the New Zealand COVID-19 Citizen Inquiry. I know that sounds a bit shamelessly promotional, but it has to be. It has to be. I'm trying to drum into everyone I'm speaking to, not just here in this format, but in my conversations and conference calls that I'm having, that this needs to happen. This is a transparent, open investigation, call to action on behalf of us citizens. And it really does need to happen. Otherwise, we're going to need to rely on the Royal Commission of Inquiry and the New Zealand First Initiated Inquiry as well. And I just want to say this. I've got some dear friends that are fellow freedom fighters that supported Winston going into Parliament. They didn't vote anyone else. They voted Winston. He's our shot, they reckon. He's our shot. Now, I respect that it's their choice and right to do that. But Winston Peters campaigned to the concerned voter on three planks. One was a COVID-19 inquiry, which is going to be a whitewash. The other one is vaccine-mandated harmed compensation for those harmed, and also vaccine-injured compensation for those that have been injured. Now, those two other planks have been abandoned, and I said before the election he was going to abandon them. When he got in front of Chris Luxon and was negotiating at the negotiating table, that he would surrender those, and that's what exactly what he did. But what did they give him? They gave him, let's repeal the Therapeutic Products Act, right? Let's give the minions something to chew on and make them feel kind of happy. But as he did that, he also brought in the introduction of a paper that's going to become a bill for the MedSafe Drug Approval Bill. I don't know what the exact name of it is just yet because they haven't released it, but the intent being that they're going to create a bill that's going to force MedSafe to approve a new drug within 30 days if two recognised regulatory authorities overseas approve a drug first. So that means potentially no due diligence, no pharmacovigilance, no testing, no New Zealand-based scrutiny and quality control and assessment. It's all going to come from overseas. Really? And that's New Zealand first. That's what they brought them on. Thank you, Sister Natalie. I really appreciate your well wishes. So that's why I say and ask the question, do you really trust these people? The same Tony Blakely who destroyed Melbourne and Victoria, the same Tony Blakely who's ex-WHO, the same Tony Blakely that said what a great job that the Labor government did of handling COVID-19. Well, I tell you what, if you haven't seen it, go and listen to my post last night, because my broadcast last night, because these guys, we showed the inspiration for me, Senator Malcolm Roberts, and his Royal Commission of Inquiry's first hearing, and they are gonna nail these guys, I tell you. And of course, Tony Blakely will not only be in the crosshairs in New Zealand, but he's gonna be in the crosshairs in Australia as well. All right, and this is funny, this, by the way. I thought I'd bring this up. You can now give your feedback on the terms of reference of the Royal Commission into the COVID-19 response. Have your say. The fact is, everything's been decided upon. The fact is, you could send a 300,000 petition, signed petition to these people and say, we want these things in it. And you know what? They're going to Delphi technique you. Then they say, oh, that's great, we're going to take into consideration your feedback, but what's going to happen is they're going to do it anyway. That's how the Delphi technique works within councils, within government organisations, and of course the government itself. When they talk about community feedback, all that is, community feedback and engagement is, let's get together, make them feel like they matter, and we'll just go and do it anyway. That's basically what that means, and I've seen it in action. And as someone that worked for a certain council, and that's how they did business, and I stood against it even back then. So, terms of reference for the Royal Commission, I think that's a fait accompli, that's gone. All right, one of the things I do want to quickly turn our attention to is what's going on in Europe. Let's just touch this. I'll use this introductory piece here. Let's have a look at this. Hey, Sister Vicky, hope you're doing well. And let's have a listen. Oops, sorry guys, wrong one. I want to go back to this one. Sorry guys. I really wanted to start off with this one. Let's turn that up. Let's make sure the sound is high. Let's have a look at this, guys, because I want to cover this in good detail, because this is what's heading our way, and this is what we should be standing up against. All right, let's go.
Hello, welcome back.
Oh, wrong one. Silly. All right, here we go.
While the European Council was in session, farmers from across Europe were taking to the streets.
All right, so this woman, Ursula, who is, of course, the head of the EU Parliament, she's an absolute nut job, and she's been caught in a scandal that was completely hushed up about COVID money that her husband ended up getting a whole bunch of it from the EU for their company that they both own as husband and wife. So she's not to be trusted. Now, this is John Kerry as well in Davos in Europe speaking about climate change, and just listen to what he says. You're not going to believe it. It's outrageous, but let's have a listen.
Equal 80% of all the emissions. You solve the problem to start with by making sure all of those 20 countries are doing what they need to do. We have to pull them to the table and leverage further. So how do we get there? Well, the lesson I've learned in the last year is Money, 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 money.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today.
All right. Let's have a look at that. For a start, let's examine that last comment that it's going to go up another 0.5 of a degree by the middle of the century. They have zero. I'm saying, and I want to be clear on this, they have zero evidence to that. This is all projections and modelings. And haven't we just seen that with COVID when they told us that New Zealand was going to have 80,000 deaths? Didn't they tell us that? Didn't a certain modeler, Professor Sean Hendy, tell us that we're going to have 80,000 deaths? It's the same modeling people. And you've got, Neil Ferguson, who told the world that we were going to have millions upon millions of people die in the US, millions upon millions of people die here, there, everywhere. And the modelings, and then, of course, the climate change modelings. If we go back from probably the mid-80s and then the mid-90s, early 90s, and then, of course, as recent as 2018 when Greta Thunberg, Professor Greta Thunberg, came out and said that if we didn't change things, we'd be gone in 5 years. Do you remember that? And, of course, that's been removed from the archives online, and you can't find that anymore because they pulled that down. So who does she really work for? But this is the statement from not only John Kerry, they're all saying it back in the EU Parliament and all these things, and they are absolutely pushing the heck out of this narrative, right? And they are absolutely determined to see it come to fruition, that they're going to impose these green rules around horticulture, let alone agriculture with cattle and sheep. So we better wake up to this. As I've always said, there's always been a chain link of points and aspects that combine together to create the chain of tyranny. And climate change tyranny, as I've been saying for ages, they're going to turn it into a global health event of international concern. It'll be ensconced into the doctrine of the pandemic preparedness framework and international health regulations, and they're going to make it one seamless issue by program. Countries will then make laws. What will happen is countries will make laws that will endorse the programs at the UN and WHO. That's how they're going to do it, the same way they did it with Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. So this is happening. I want to look at some of the protests here, because we are not seeing any protests, footage, imagery anywhere on mainstream media. Why is that, family? Why is that? Let's have a look at this.
Coliseum and are demanding to speak directly to the government. I wonder if Maloney responds. Dutch fishermen have joined the farmers in their protest against Agenda 2030 that will put them out of business.
Then, of course, it goes from here into some really big stuff. All right, let's have a look at this. Look at that. You've got... Whoa.
Here you can see Spanish farmers drive around police that are attempting to block the farmer protests.
All right, I can't bear that music. That doesn't fit the scene at all. So there you go. You got these protests that are happening all over Europe. Let's look at another one. In France, of course, the French... Vive la France, they are the professionals around protesting. They're protesting in Holland, Poland, just everywhere. They are protesting across Europe like this, and we're not seeing any of it on mainstream media here in New Zealand, not a bean of it. So this is my point. is that last night, remember I showed you the article in yesterday's stuff.com article, that they're now telling you in mainstream media in New Zealand that if you have a baby and want to have a baby, you are selfish. You're bringing a baby, you're basically going to end up sacrificing them, and you are just an evil person because your baby is going to eat and breathe. That's emissions and fart. That's emissions. And it's going to do all these things, right? And so don't have babies. What is this about? This has got to be about population reduction and control. Must be. Why all these things? Why all of these issues when you look at the aggregate and try and decipher what's going on? Why is this? And then, of course, they tell you everybody's got an EV, right? It's got to get an EV. You've got to get an EV or a hybrid at least. But you've got to get an EV. But look at this. Look at this that came up, guys. Multiple free EV charging sites, Auckland EV charging sites, to become pay to use. And that's what it is. That's how it's going to be. They're going to suck all these people in to purchase EVs, right? Electric vehicles. And people are going to buy them. Think they're doing the good thing for the global community, but they're not. They're going to be buying vehicles that are dangerous to drive. And if you have an accident in an EV, that's not necessarily a good thing. You could not get out of your car and burn to death easily in an electronic vehicle. Think about that a second. And so you've got these lithium batteries that are made through slave labor. They don't know how to dispose of them. And now when you get your electronic vehicle, this is preposterous. You now have to go and plug it in somewhere like this. You have to pay to use the electricity that comes from where? Either through our hydro system or through coal-burning fuel electricity generation. All right? So this just doesn't make sense. So what are we to believe this is about? What are we truly to try and decipher this, interpret it, extrapolate data from the picture that we're seeing? We have to look at it just the same way that we looked at COVID. Look at the data. It doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, question why. And if you don't get the right answer, then you know that something's up. And we can see now we've got all these green socialist leftists in New Zealand, especially even in the Māori community, that are all behind all this stuff. How do I know? Because I've been to the UN with some of them. And they are pushing it. They are pushing the UN climate change agenda. But what they don't realize, and they haven't worked it out yet, which is strange. Maybe they don't want to because they get a free trip to fly to Geneva each year. Maybe it's because it's too much for them to intellectually understand that the organization that they worship is actually all about taking away their civil liberties, our civil liberties, our rights, and our ability to live in freedom with our kids, our mokopuna, our grandchildren, and to live a life where we're not being overreached into. But the bottom line is, the synopsis is this, family, is that this green tyranny that's coming is alive and well in New Zealand right now. It is so strong here, it's not even funny. And if we think that we're looking at this and thinking that, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, it's not going to come here, I think most of you know that that's not true anyway, that this is here, it's coming. But what we need to do, though, there needs to be real solidarity here. We need to have real solidarity with our farming community. I live in a farming community, as you know. We've got horticulturalists, we've got agriculturalists here in our community, and this is all over New Zealand. And what's happening with the pressure of compliance, these families that are in business are selling their farms up because they can't stay in business because of compliance costs. And isn't that what they wanted? And I talked about this in 2020 during the election campaign. I was telling people that this was here, it was coming, it would be exasperated, and it has been. It's right there. So, again, I just want to talk before I say goodnight to you guys because I've got to go and finish packing, is that I'm heading to Australia tomorrow. And I'm heading there. Why? Because of this here. Because of the New Zealand Citizen Inquiry. Again, here is the website, nzcci.com. And again, please get in there and support this and donate to make this possible. And tomorrow, you can download the terms of reference here. Click on that. up it comes, and that's ready to download. It's right there. Absolutely. And Dean James has just said it, totalitarian tiptoe, gradual steps towards enslavement. That's exactly what it is. And this document here basically is the stepping stone, for us to expose the enslavement program that they want to bring in. Because this COVID inquiry is going to shine the light on not only what we've been through for 4 years, but it's going to shine a light on what's coming as well, family. And that's so desperately important, because we've already been through what we've been through. Now we've got to look ahead and find out, okay, that was bad. What are they planning? Because what they're planning, I promise you, is going to be much, much worse than what we've been through. And I don't like saying that, guys, because it's about time that we actually face up to what we're dealing with. But we do it with hope, courage, and faith, and we encourage each other. And that brings me again to my plea. We need unity within the freedom movement. Please share this, by the way. Share this. Hit the share button now. Please, I'm being incredibly shadow banned. Some of you are saying that you didn't even know I was on tonight. You just did a random check online, and here I am. Please hit the share button. Please hit the share button more and more. Go to nzcci.com, download the terms of reference, and share it as far and wide as you can, please. We've got to get this message out. But I'm going tomorrow. Thank you, Sister Tina. I'm going to Australia tomorrow to fight for us and this New Zealand citizen COVID-19 inquiry. I'm going there to fight for us. I'm going there to Australia, to a foreign country. They're our cousins just over the ditch, but this is a foreign country, to fight for our right to have a citizen COVID inquiry, to have it supported and endorsed by foreign politicians, because our own politicians are corrupt, captured, and incapable of actually being honest and having moral fiber and strength to stand up against what they must know to be wrong. Why has nobody stood up within the House of Representatives and said, enough already, enough? New Zealand for New Zealand. New Zealand for New Zealanders, not for foreign programs, not for foreign data, not for foreign drugs that are approved and rushed into New Zealand without scrutiny after 30 days. And that's what Winston Peters has done. That's what Christopher Luxon is doing. That's what David Seymour is doing. And, you know, and I pray for them. I really pray that they'll stop what they're doing. But I've come to believe that these people are demonically engineered in some way that makes them sort of incapable of being able to see this, to see what they're doing, to see where they are navigating the ship into this iceberg called totalitarianism, globalism, and authoritarianism. Somehow they can't, there's some sort of, I don't think I'd call it denial, because I think they know it, but there's something over them that makes them incapable to realize what they're doing. So again, yeah, Georgie's just saying they're all a bunch of psychopaths. And that's why these same people here, look at them. Do you really trust these people to investigate how the Labor government's response to COVID-19 killed our country? Why can't we trust them? It's because, number one, they were a party to supporting it. Don't ever forget that. They were a party to supporting it. But also, they haven't changed anything. The government's changed, but nothing has changed. And they are steering the Waka into the same troubled waters as the last guys did. There's nothing different about them, guys. And it's a shocker to say this. I know that I keep saying it and saying it, but we need to acknowledge this. And again, if anyone wants to post this and share this to the Brian Tamakis, to the Sue Grays, the Liz Gunns, to the Lane Bakers, to the Helen Horton from the Conservatives, these guys, all of us need to come together. We need to confront this together, not as Voices for Freedom over here, not as New Zealand Rising over there, but as one unit of solidarity. The Māori word for it is kotahitanga, which is solidarity, unity. And we need to do this, guys. This is so imperative. I had discussions today that were a bit alarming. Other people trying to kind of put me off track a little bit. And I just want to say that we all need to come together. We need to drop. If we've got problems with each other, drop them. Forgive. Forgive. I've had people say some pretty horrible things about me. I've said some pretty hasty things about others, and I regret that. I do. I certainly do. I'm a Christian first, and that's not becoming of someone sometimes, because I get angry too, and I get passionate about this, because I can't understand why people do things the way they do when you see people that are meant to be leaders in the freedom movement discrediting the freedom movement because of their behavior. So we need to drop these things. We need to learn from what we've done. We need to learn from that. We need to come together in unity and move forward together as a block to do this. Otherwise, we are not. We are not going to defeat this. And we're not going to even be able to mitigate some of the harms that are coming down our way. This is so big. 2024 is going to be a huge, huge year. 2025 is going to be a massive year as well. And they're saying, you know, you got Colonel Douglas McGregor saying that these psychopaths are trying to take us into World War III. But let's not listen to the wars and rumors of wars narrative. Let's focus on what we've got in front of us. We've got farmers to protect. We've got mRNA, next generation drugs, arriving here in New Zealand by May for the winter season. And what is that going to mean? They're going to use every trick in the book to try and get New Zealanders to take up this drug that nobody wants anymore. How many people have I spoken to that have had double jabs, triple jabs, four jabs, that have had COVID once, twice, maybe more? How many of them have I met? I've lost count. And so people have woken up now that the risk ratio to benefit ratio just doesn't stack up. And yet these corrupt politicians and corrupt bureaucrats are doubling down. And that is why we need an independent inquiry into this. Hey, Sister Ellie, good to see you. Bless you and Ellen. Good to see you. So this is an important message tonight. We've got to come together and please encourage people to get in behind the New Zealand Citizen COVID-19 inquiry. By the way, I had some more incredible feedback today from people that I really respect. And by the way, I'm not the only one who contributed to the terms of reference. There was a whole group of us and lots of people that are involved in contributing to the quality of the document. So it's not all me, guys. Some people, they don't want to be known. Some people want to be anonymous, that are working as contributors. And you know what? That's absolutely fine. They can work in the background and I'll put my ugly mug out the front. No, now, just what I did want to say to you, look what I received today. Look, in fact, tonight, I'll show you what this is. This here is a letter from the Electoral Commission. See that there? And it is basically telling me that I am disqualified from. Yeah. So basically, right. So they're saying that I can't run for office for 3 years. Whoop-de-doo. But isn't that amazing that they would go through all this trouble to do these things and to censor me, to remove people from my Telegram page, to set up counterfeit Billy Tekeheka pages on Facebook and all that and the rest of it. Maybe I'm more of a threat than I think of. I just see myself as an ordinary New Zealander fighting this. The same as you, no different, no better, no higher, no lower, the same. I don't want office in Parliament. I don't want election. I don't want to be thanked, even though it's nice to be thanked. That's not what I'm doing it for. I don't have any personal interest, gains, goals in this. There's no money involved in it. I had a very serious talk with my wife before. There is no money involved in this work. You do it because you love it, because of the cause, and you love people. You love your children, your grandchildren. And you want to do this because it's the right thing. And I think it's time that we stop going down rabbit holes. I think it's time that we stop accusing each other. And I think it's time we come together to defeat this, because what is coming is going to run over everybody. And we better prepare for it. Number one, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he can be found is number one. Number two, prepare. Prepare yourself with provisions. Get out of the city if you can. get your food growing undercover as much as you can and start preparing for what could be some very, very severe food shortages, if not an economic collapse and a war at the end of that. And I wish I had better news for your family. And I don't say these things to scare us for clickbait, any of that nonsense. It is to confront what's coming. But we do know that the COVID-19, the global pandemic preparedness framework is coming. We know that the International Health Regulations 2005 amendments are coming, and Ashley Bloomfield is right there amongst all of it. We know that this is coming, and we better get our act together and confront it together as one whānau. Ko whānau ko tahi tātou. We are one family. All right, family, that's it for me. I better get in and complete my packing. Thank you so much for your love, your support. I'll be thinking of you all when I hit the plane tomorrow. I'm going to be missing my children while I'm away, my beautiful whānau. I get homesick these days when I'm away from them. And when I get back, by the way, I have got an event next Monday. That is next Monday in New Plymouth. I better show this, actually. I almost forgot to do it. Holy smoke. But I am in... here we go. I better show you guys this. I almost forgot to show you guys this. Isn't that shocker? But I am in New Plymouth next week at Manu's Waterfront Cafe and Restaurant, 39 Ocean View Parade, New Plymouth, 6 o'clock to 9 p.m. And it is a fundraiser, but it's a chance for me to speak about the inquiry, the scope of it, what we're planning to do with it, the aims and goals of the inquiry, and also what is coming down the pipeline at us in New Zealand as well. And also, well, I'll brief you in person about my meeting with Senator Malcolm Roberts. And if you want to know more, please contact Sister Rowena Wood, 02124-34248. And please come to this event in New Plymouth, and please come and support this. Also, guys, I'm going to do it again. Let's see where that has gone. If you would like to donate to help out with this trip, guys, because we are close to the line, but we didn't quite get there. If you're able to donate for the New Zealand Citizen COVID-19 Inquiry, when I get back, we've got to send money away to book halls for the New Zealand Citizen hearings that we're having across New Zealand. So if you can support, that would be wonderful. This is how you are to do it here. Thank you, Sister Tina, Sister Kylie. I'm going to be calling you before I go. And Daryl, thank you to all of you guys being online with me tonight. Mia, Mirren, Sister Mirren as well. Big thank you to Sister Mirren and Andrew for also being sponsors of our trip. And, you know, just very, very touched. You can trust me. I'll do my very, very best for you all. And let's go and get the business done, guys. Thank you so much. God bless. Keep the peace in your spirit. You're in my prayers. Bon marie and good night.